we present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to the only news show this week where there aren't any politicians not canvassing for a mythical general election. However, we open the proceedings with a tale of political savoir-faire from The Guardian.
Preston North End's third division game with West Bromwich Albion on October the 5th has been postponed on police advice because it clashes with a Conservative Party conference in Blackpool.
Well, many thanks to Dr. and Mrs. Emrose of Altrincham for alerting us to that. Well, let's meet the teams now. On my right, come to think of it, how appropriate for one of them, Private Eyes, Richard Ingrams and Ian Hislop. On my left, the First Division team of Alan Corran and Nick Clark. We open round one with an advertisement spotted by Andrew Goodenough of Chorley Wood and read by Peter Donaldson.
Cemetery foreman required to daily supervise one cemetery and oversee three others when necessary. Decorum Borough Council invites you to step into the future.
Richard, your first question. Who got himself out of another fine mess?
It wasn't Dempster.
Wasn't it? Might have been. He didn't get himself out of it, though.
No, he got himself into one.
No, this is an American question.
American. Well, it refers to Laurel and Hardy, doesn't it?
Well, Oliver Hardy.
Oliver North.
He was
Wonderfully guessed.
Hey,
those tablets are beginning to work, Richard.
They're awfully good. Anti-stress pills I've been taking the last hour or so. Yes.
We'll let you know when they wear off, ladies and gentlemen.
He was given a state pardon by, not Kenneth Baker, the other chap called Baker, isn't there, over there, an American.
James Baker.
Might have been him.
Could well be.
He got off on a technicality.
That's right.
The technicality that he's guilty as hell and Bush doesn't want him saying any more.
He might be swapped for someone else, mightn't he? There might be a swap going on.
Ernest Saunders.
Yeah. He could swap him for Reagan.
That sounds perfectly reasonable to me. It was about Oliver North who brought respectability back to the American scandal business and helped one Fawn Hall to achieve the kind of fame normally only gained after associations with at least a couple of newspaper editors. Thank you for spotting that. The last case against him ended with his conviction for shredding vital documentary evidence, despite his vigorous defence that he was just following orders. At least he thinks he was following orders, but they're very difficult to read when they've been through the shredding machine. Ian, your question now. Who's run up a 24-carat loss?
Oh, this is Roland Ratner.
Is that right?
A famous salesman of crap. I hate saying that on the radio, you can imagine. But he described his goods very famously as being that four-letter word. And for some reason, the punters decided not to buy them. So he's just run up substantial losses, because everyone said, well, I don't want to go and buy that.
7 million, was it? 17.7 million losses. His shares are now on sale in the shops alongside the rings.
Marked down this week, half price. Yes, you're absolutely all right. This refers to high street tycoon Gerald Ratner, who this week announced a £17.7 million loss. Ratner, the jeweller whose stock proved to be all that glistens is not gold, admitted his jokey comment earlier this year that his lines were crap could have had something to do with it. This is what psychiatrists call a guilt complex. Share analysts in the city say that for Ratner, the jewellery has hit the fan, and... Nick, we turn to you now. Welcome back to the programme. Your question is this. Where is doing a stretch going to be more comfortable?
Kenneth Baker has agreed with all those who've commented upon prisons who say that the reason why chaps don't like being in prison and throw towels at policemen and things is because they're not comfortable enough. And the first prison that they actually put up, which had televisions and videos and jacuzzis and things, they rioted just the same a couple of days later. So he may not be right, but this is the plan anyway. If we make them all feel really happy, they'll stay put.
That's
and
right.
Like it.
Absolutely right.
He had this other scheme earlier this year of sort of letting them escape. That was rather good.
Well, it worked, didn't it?
Except the ones who were innocent. They were getting...
Yes. Oh, dear. Yes, these are Home Secretary Kenneth Baker's white paper proposals to reform the prison system without providing any additional funds, which would bring Britain's 19th century jails into the 20th century by halfway through the 21st. Overcrowding will be reduced by bringing back our old friend, the ex-governor of Brixton, to act as security advisor and providing larger roofs to accommodate the greater number of inmates. The practice of slopping out will be stopped by 1994, even though there are no plans to provide alternative arrangements. Will you lend an ear to this?
I'd like my ear back now.
Was that Larry Adler dying?
If so,
I'll
take any questions.
The tune was called Midnight Cowboy, the theme of the film Midnight Cowboy, and the question is, who said a partly political hooray for Hollywood?
Well, is this Schlesinger and the other fellow,
yeah, Hudson?
Yes. Well, John Major, having said he wouldn't have his image refurbished and he would go to Meeker's as usual, and he would probably find Kenneth Baker to smarten his shoes up a bit with a good lick, is in fact turning himself over to the professionals. And John Schlesinger, who made Midnight Cowboy, made Dustin Hoffman the thing he is going to do exactly the same for John Major.
He's going to turn him into a sort of gay urban cowboy.
Yes.
Oh, terrific.
And the other one, the little Welsh one, is going to be done over yet again by the Chariots of Fire man, who's getting older and older.
Right. I was thinking of Butch Hattersley in the Sundance Kid.
The one where the seagulls come over and just drop on Kinnock's head.
John Schlesinger will project the personality of the Prime Minister, the Midnight Cowboy. This is something of a departure for Schlesinger, as he doesn't normally direct science fiction. Hugh Hudson will show Neil Kinnock's strength of purpose. And you thought slapstick comedy was dead. A new production called Chariots of Wind.
Paddy Ashdown's getting Max Sennett.
Big party after the show. And the scores at the end of the first round are, as they always are, I don't know why I bothered to tell you, but they are for all. Round two opens with a story from the East Anglian Daily Times.
A West Yorkshireman was jailed for 4 years yesterday after a robbery at a building society. Philip Young scattered a trail of £10 notes in the wind after holding up the Leeds City Centre branch and then could not find his way home. Because it's been 10 years since his last visit to the centre of Leeds and all the bus stops had been moved.
Thanks to Brenda Holdroyd of Ipswich for sending us that. Richard, who is free to go home free at last?
Is this someone that Kenneth Baker's released into the community?
No, this is further east than that.
In fact, it's a reference to Earl Beardy, Solzhenitsyn, who's been living behind barbed wire in America for a number of years, and finally decided it's safe for him to go back.
Because they've dropped the charges against him.
Yeah. That's right.
They've dropped the treason charges after 300 years, I think.
Yeah.
That's right, it's all about Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Russian...
Not a bundle of laughs, but then nor Solzhenitsyn, really.
Many laughs in his stuff. Gloomy old bugger, to my mind.
I don't know, Gulag. Hello, bit of a laugh. No?
In Russia, he's thought to be funnier than Ollie North, however. Ian, your question. Where is a level of literary merit considered to have had its day?
Is this the one about the Daily Mail gossip columnist who was made to look an idiot?
Good heavens, no.
No. Oh, then it must be the one about the Frederick Forsyth novel.
It is.
Oh, dear, the one about the Daily Mail gossip columnist being made to look an idiot was a lot better.
Yes, you're quite right, however.
This is Frederick Forsyth's book, which has been included on the A-level syllabus.
That's right.
out of a choice of the whole of English literature. Chaucer, Shakespeare, Geoffrey Archer. I mean, there are plenty of wonderful candidates. For some unknown reason, they've chosen the Day of the Jackal to be discussed, analysed, and then put in the bin, presumably, at the end of the show.
It could be a mistake. They could have meant the Forsyth saga. I don't know. I mean, I never believe these stories, actually. Headmasters get them bang on about how kids are being... I don't believe it.
Well, that's it, then, that story.
Yes, that is it. I'll move on. Nick, here's some music for you. And that was called Turning Japanese, and your question is, where did a couple of heirs get together to hear a couple of heirs?
Well, they got together in Holland Park, of all places. Prince Charles and the Crown Prince, whose name just escaped me for a moment, listening to Auld Lang Syne... Thank you, Howard. Yes, you're right, he's right. Can we just put the mic up a bit so we can hear it again?
Near heart.
What? I'm not absolutely sure if we've had it yet or whether this is a preliminary throat-clearing exercise. Anyway, could you just...
No, I was trying to do Charles, actually. I don't know the other buddy.
For all I know, what we may have been hearing was Auld Lang Syne in Japanese, which is what they listened to while they were sitting around this pool in the Kyoto Gardens in Holland Park.
That's absolutely right. This was the official opening in London of the Japanese Festival 1991 by the Prince of Wales and his Oriental opposite, Crown Prince Naruhito, where schoolchildren sang them the traditional Japanese versions of Auld Lang Syne and Greensleeves. The £20 million festival is promoted as a cultural event intended to cement the newfound warmth between the two friendly nations. In other words, the Japanese have got the money and we want some of it.
I understand the Duke of Edinburgh was invited, but he declined invitation.
Alan, where has the espionage business been taking off?
This is China.
No, it is nearer to England than that.
Oh, you don't mean the Air France one?
Oh, oui.
Air France, really one of the worst airlines there is. I have to say this on air. I'm sure you'll cut it out. But apparently, if you get onto an Air France flight, the likelihood is you will have a spy sitting next to you. I'm not entirely certain why. Apparently, Air France ferries these people back and forth for folding money. But I don't know why.
This concerns the admission by a man called Pierre Marion, former head of the French government intelligence agency, that he set up an espionage network using stewardesses aboard Air France flights in order to gain information surreptitiously from American businessmen. Well, they clearly weren't the stewardesses. The French now have knowledge of such top secrets as which US executive drinks tea and which coffee, how many can eat a five-course lunch out of a four-inch square plastic tray using a bendy knife and fork, and who can resist torture, such as having their kneecaps crushed by a reclining seat. But there's some good news as well. Customs formalities are much quicker because everyone already knows what's inside the baggage. And let me give you the scores at the end of the second round, which are still tied at 8-8. But now it's over to Peter for the start of round 3.
An obsession with knowing all about strange objects may be a biological condition rather than a form of harmless eccentricity, doctors believe. The illness is known as Asperger's syndrome. Among those with the condition was a man who knew all there was to know about 50 types of carrot. He didn't want to plant them or eat them, said Dr. Uta Frith, a research scientist. He just wanted to know about them. Another learned the colours of the doors in all the magistrates' courts in his area. When he was asked why he didn't collect the door colours of juvenile courts, he said these bored him to death.
Well, many thanks to David Meads of West Sussex for sending us that from The Guardian. No surprise there. Richard, it's your turn again. Where might you find a happy circle of women?
Where indeed, a happy circle of women? Are they dancing around?
No, no.
What are they doing?
It's a magic happy circle.
Oh!
Yes.
Yes. This is the decision to ordain women magicians.
Well,
by them to perform the ceremonies which have hitherto been reserved for men, like taking rabbits out of hats. Millions of handkerchiefs out of their pockets. Of course, they haven't got pockets, have they, women? So they couldn't do that one.
I imagine you're against it, aren't you, Richard?
Well, I think...
I think women are... No, for thousands... It just isn't on, is it?
For thousands of years, men have been taking rabbits out of hats. And women have been cut in half and this sort of thing. And I see no reason for a change myself.
That's the Archdeacon of York speaker.
Yes.
Here endeth the lesson.
Indeed it does.
Here endeth the old bore.
Yes. It's getting through to you, Richard, isn't it? This refers to the Magic Circle, which has voted to abandon its male-only membership policy. The delighted Debbie McGee, wife of Paul Daniels, welcomed the decision, though as a mind reader she knew it was coming. Miss McGee now wants to be the first woman member, and as such saw her diminutive husband in half. And she's not the only one. Ian, your question. After Postman Pat a couple of weeks ago, you graduated to this. First time was big time, second time was a blast, third time I fell in love, now I hope it lasts. I can see it in your walk, tell it when you talk, I can see it in everything you do, even in your thoughts. You love the right stuff, baby. You've got the right stuff, baby.
Oh, thank you very much.
Awfully good.
Well, the question is, which kids have got 115 million reasons for being on top of the world?
This is a very popular young person's band. I'm just explaining all this. Called New Kids on the Block.
Quite right.
And they're fantastically uninteresting, and they're very, very rich because of that.
Right.
And they wear baseball caps.
God.
And, oh, God.
It's like, everybody up. Answer's over. This is a teenage pop group, New Kids on the Block, who've come top of the poll of the world's highest paid entertainers. Although, obviously, the term is applied fairly loosely. Their annual earnings of $115 million, which between them equates roughly $1 per pimple, puts them above superstars like Madonna, Michael Jackson, and the Rolling Stones, an accolade almost as great as being compared last week by Charles Kennedy to the Liberal Democratic Party.
Could I just apologise for knowing the answer to that? I'm extremely embarrassed. I am sorry.
That's quite okay. Nick, you knew the answer to that, I know. Do you know the answer to this? What isn't a credit to the force?
I do know the answer to this, yes. It's a jolly good wheeze somebody had for giving policemen credit cards, which unfortunately had on them the name of an organisation known as BCCI, as well as a picture of the Canadian Rockies, which no one could explain. And the credit cards you could use anywhere in the world, and if you went to Pakistan, you were able to use them for anything the Pakistanis used them for, namely drug dealing, prostitutes, anything you fancied. And
picking your teeth?
They're not worth a lot at the moment.
Quite right. Absolutely right. This refers to the policemen who are currently debtors of the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, the bank that likes to say not guilty. Proving policemen have more money than sense, British officers were holders of the Constabulary Travel Club's credit card, launched in 1987 with the slogan, "That will do nicely, Sergeant." Alan. Where on the south coast might you find Sin City, casually speaking?
Exeter University, who have much to answer for, and a lot of time on their hands, sent out a team to put their ears to the doors of the hotels of Torbay, where people were at it like knives. And the result of this survey was that it's quite complicated, actually. You've got to get it right, especially if you're taking notes and you want to go to Torbay. One in four teenage women who go to Torbay are involved in Legacross with at least one new partner during the fortnight. It's quite complicated. You might need calculators, especially if you're in Torbay. But 25% of the female visitors to Torbay meet men and...
get heavily torbayed during that time. Why it's torbay, I don't know.
If you break the chain, you get the same man twice.
Weren't most of these people were actually engaged to somebody else? Wasn't there a statistic about that as well? 47% of them were engaged to somebody else.
47% of the 25% that have it with these.
It's very hard. On my calculation, that means that only 0.093% of anybody in Torbay isn't getting it, even as we speak.
This may explain the other statistics this week about children born outside wedlock.
You're going to ask a question about that as well?
Or have we
wedlock is a small town in this. In Exeter, just near Torbay.
Do I get an extra fee for this?
Yes, you're right. I don't know about every particular, but I was amused. So I'll just say that the failing a return of the chaste old days, sticks of Torbay rock will now carry safe sex messages and tell you that the scores at the end of the third round are still tied at 12 all. And now for the beginning of the end.
Elderly residents whooped it up at a party to celebrate the 21st birthday of their sheltered homes at Swingate Lane in Plumstead. Among them were two residents aged 92 who've been living there since the council homes were first built. Food, wine, and a variety show were laid on by the trustees of the Co-op Funeral Service.
Thanks, I think, to Michael Yates of London for spotting that in the Greenwich Times. Now, Richard, this is for you. Well, that was the German version of the Archers. theme.
Sick of them.
And your question is, Richard, can you tell us an everyday story of upset folk?
Well, I'm so bored by the Archers, quite honestly.
Yeah, Jeffrey and Mary, aren't they boring?
Aren't you sick of them?
Getting up, writing rotten books.
Turn on your radio. Anyway, you probably know this story. It's something to do with a pub, isn't it?
Yes.
But what to do with a pub? I mean, Alan will know. Some pub was said to be the Archer's pub, and they said, no, it isn't, it's another one.
Why does that make me feel bad?
What?
You should know.
Do you know all about it?
I have no idea. Nick knows the answer to this.
Henbury. Henbury in Warwickshire, who thought they were Ambridge. And it turns out the chap who invented them in the first place says they're not at all. And what's more, he thinks the pub in Henbury is awful. Is that right?
Right.
And they're very, very depressed, because in every Henbury shop there are Archer's memorabilia, which you can buy, saying, you know, this is Archer land. Is that correct?
It's absolutely right, in every particular, and you get bonus points.
No, I made Alan feel better as well, which is good.
Anything that does that has my vote. Ian, your question now. Whose meaty role gave him fast food for thought?
Oh, dear.
Well-known chain.
Big Mac. Mm-hmm. McDonald's.
Yeah.
Big Maxwell.
No. God, he's woken up again. Oh. Give him that answer you gave him earlier, let him drop back to sleep. He'll be all right.
Actually, if you made burgers out of old copies of The European, they probably taste better than Big Macs.
Oh, hello!
Brilliant idea. Wonderful.
But apart from that, I'm afraid I've no idea.
No, Nick knows the answer.
So it's Ronald McDonald has gone vegetarian.
That's right. It's an amazing story. Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald. He used to be president of the United States. I remember him. He was a laugh.
And he's opened a cow protection community to make amends for recommending beef burgers for so many years.
Is that right? Wonderful. Anyway, Nick, you've been so good on the last two answers. What about this one? What magnificent man in his flying machine took a low-level tour of gay Paris?
This was a chap who didn't, like Alan Corran, like flying Air France. So he took a biplane and tried to get to Paris that way and tried to fly in between the legs of the Eiffel Tower. Oh. I spoke that very carefully, just in case, because I know what people are like around here. And he, at the third attempt, he got it through.
That's right.
Don't say anything at all.
I told you we should have got James Naughty. apparently the plane had been stolen, but no one could hear the alarm at 10,000 feet, and it was later found in a field, minus the pilot and the stereo. Alan, last question. Who won the race and then lost by a whisker?
Someone in the audience said, ah, they know. Lucky things, invite them on stage. Like Tommy Trindam, we'll wave our handkerchiefs. It's a cat.
No.
Nope.
It's not a cat.
No.
It's a whisker.
No, it's
a race.
I know this.
Ingram's knows it.
No. I don't believe it.
This is the first time this has ever happened. It is their week, Alan.
It was a man who won the marathon, and he started off with a moustache. And he finished without one. It might have been the other way around. And they then decided that, in fact, it was two men. And the man with the moustache had dropped out halfway through and been taken over by the man without the moustache. Am I not right?
I didn't think you knew.
It's absolutely right in every respect. Before we get to the final scores, it's time for the team cuttings. Richard, have you got something from the Daily Mail, perhaps? By a well-known columnist.
Well, there was a very funny cutting in the Daily Mail this week, but it was rather too long to read out in toto. Instead,
not
I have
as funny as the other stuff.
Instead, I have a musical item from the Daily Telegraph. It says, members of the Walton Women's Choir, named after Sir William Walton, the composer born in their native Oldham, have changed the group's name for fear they might be mistaken for coming from Liverpool. They have now adopted the name of Saddleworth, scene of the Moors murders.
Ian.
This one's from the Daily Mail gossip column, but I won't read it because it's rubbish. Where is this one from? It says, great-grandmother Mrs. Ethel Haynes from Sutton Coldfield is looking forward to a civic celebration to mark her 102nd birthday. The Lord Mayor of Birmingham, Councillor Bill Turner, will toast Mrs. Haynes, who lives at Sutton Grange Nursing Home, Lichfield Road, at a barbecue there on...
Nick, what have you brought
with? I have an item from the Western Morning News, headline Slack the Ripper, and it says a phantom trouser slasher who forced pupils to walk around school for a day in shorts has baffled West Country teachers. Nine pupils at Tiverton School finished a PE lesson to discover their uniforms had been attacked in a changing room. Their trousers had been ripped beyond repair in the bizarre attack which took place last week, but only emerged yesterday. The school has said it will pay for new trousers.
There's a mystery there, if you ask me. Alan, what have you got for us?
Well, you know, I don't normally go for typographical errors, because they have to be very good. I prefer those slices of life's rich oddity. But there's one here that's irresistible from the Salisbury Times. This was irresistible to me. It says, despite the recession, Melton's Autumn Antiques Fair has attracted a record number of dealers from all over the southwest. We were told by Mrs. Olive Haslam, just one of the many interesting items which can be had for less than £50.
Well, let me give you the final scores, which have been seasonally adjusted because of special pressures that we have. Alan and Nick, a brilliant 15, but this week's winners, Richard and Ian, with 16. Before we go, we leave you with a hot piece of scientific news seen in the dental journal The Probe by J.M. Denny of Tunbridge.
West Yorkshire police have again asked for the help of the Probe's readers in identifying a murder victim discovered earlier this year. Since the appeal was first made in the paper in February, further information has come to light. Most significantly, detectives leading the case have now been informed by pathologists that the victim could have been either male or female.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingram, Ian Hislop, Alan Corrin and Nick Clark. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was Diane Messias.